Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is.
And snacks.
And snacks, like Twin Snake gummies.
I can't say I've seen Twin Snake gummies before, but...
I know. That was my first one was delicious, if you want to know.
There's so much innovation in the candy space,
there,
I will say.
There really is. I was recently on vacation down in Palm Springs, and the local grocery store had a buy one, get one, but it was going to happen on the weekend after we left. And like front and center were all the gummy snacks. And I was like, should we extend our vacation so I can get buy one, get one, gummy bears and gummy worms. And
did they have a wide selection?
Because, they did. I was kind of impressed. And then, you know, I was like, what does that say about the residents of Palm Springs that they're not into gummy bears because they're on sale? Buy one, get one.
They're trying to incentivize.
I don't know, right? I was like, do older people, because, you know, the desert tends to have a lot of retirees.
Maybe the dentists have said
something.
Don't eat those.
Stick to wine and cocktails.
And they don't have grandchildren that might like these or something? I don't know. They don't care.
It was baffling. And sadly, I was not there long enough to fill up an entire suitcase of buy one, get one
free next time,
gummy bears.
Next time you need to.
Because there was going
to
be a total run on it. They were going to be like, wow, we have to restock.
Like this one customer came in and bought everything.
With the full shopping cart full of gummy bears.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so that happened recently, or didn't happen, I guess. I don't know.
You wanted it to happen.
But I know. But speaking of eating, you know, I wanted to... Do you like how I made that transition? I want to share more broadly, because I don't know if everyone always gets the opportunity to read the Good Stuff column that you do, which I love, and sits on our website at sonomawinegrape.org. But you recently wrote a column about recipes and kind of this flashback to early recipes to go with wine.
Yeah, it was
tell me more about that. And how do you even like come up with that as an idea?
It was kind of a hilarious thing. So a really good friend of mine was sort of clearing out some belongings that her mom had belonged to her mom.
Okay.
And gifted them to me because they're sort of like these early cookbooks about using California wine with food and recipes to pair. And
novel.
And they're from 19... The first one... I have two. The first one's from 1963.
So that's actually a big deal, 1963. Yeah. I mean, that is pre-the Judgment of Paris and sort of California wine coming in. That's... Yeah.
I know. And it was through the California Wine Advisory Board. So I think an early version of Wine Institute essentially. Uh-huh. And they partnered with UC Davis and they partnered with Fresno State to sort of like find the right people to give some wine advice, but also to come up with all these recipes. So the recipes themselves come from winemakers and their families. And
if I talk about who were the winemakers, I mean, they were all...
Well,
men.
It did sort of say at the beginning, like, we want to thank the California winemakers and their wives.
Isn't that hysterical?
For contributing these recipes.
Thank goodness we've come a long way since 1963.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And then anytime, you know, it was Mrs. Frank Bartholomew of Buena Vista Winery. And,
oh, my gosh.
Or that's Mrs. Segacio. So a lot of names that we still recognize today, which is kind of a cool part about it. Sebastiani. But the recipes are quite hilarious. And I detailed a couple of them. And then I also just sort of like added a few tidbits of like their advice on wine, which, you know, I mean, such early days. Like,
yeah.
It really is just a primer.
Okay. Well, I love that you actually, in the Wine Advisory Board, that one, they included a definition for a viticulture for those that didn't know what it was. And it was viticulture is the science of grape growing.
Mm-hmm.
Enology is the science of winemaking. So they kept it pretty basic.
It's 1963. Very basic.
1963. So you included an awesome recipe called After Dinner Peachy.
I mean, the names alone are pretty epic.
Like hysterical. So this is super fun. So this whole Good Stuff article and recommendations, including, you know, appetizer wines to enjoy before or after dinner as refreshment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like sherry, vermouth, flavored wines.
I know. I'm not quite sure what they mean by that.
Flavored. Okay.
But maybe apricot brandy wine. I don't know.
Something. And... Yeah, and then I like the white dinner wines, like Chardonnay's nowhere on here. It's a Sauternes, Rhine wine,
right.
Riesling.
Like, what does that mean?
I know. Chablis. Okay, fine.
And I think by Chablis, they do mean Chardonnay, but, you know,
but not called.
We were still so stuck on European terms. So yeah. It's interesting to look at how far we've come.
Well, this is going to be super fun because our guest today is actually, I want to say, a real connoisseur of all these different grape varieties and has several of them planted on his family's vineyard. And so it should be a great show. We'll be able to dive in and maybe find out what one of his favorite recipes is.
Sounds good. We'll be right back on the good stuff. For joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have Bill Nachbar, owner of Alegria Vineyards. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I know. It's great to have you. We already have a map of the vineyard in front of us.
I love a good map, especially a good vineyard map. This is great. So before we get to that, though,
yes.
We like to start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about, you have a long time connection to the area, but you did not grow up here. Is that right?
Right. I grew up nearby. I grew up in Vallejo. But I have ancestors that were here back in the mid-1800s. I had great grandparents in Windsor, ran a hotel in 1868.
Wow.
And then they later moved to Oakland and had a hotel there. Then I had other great-great-grandparents who came from the Azores and lived in west of Petaluma, also around 1870.
Okay. So there was a connection to the area, but when you were growing up, did you have a connection to wine at all? Like,
Yeah, we did. We drank, or my parents drank.
I heard that slip. We're going to have to revisit that.
Yeah.
You know.
But it was mostly like Thanksgiving, and, you know, they were more into bourbon and water and gin and tonic.
Of the era, right, very much.
But then there was my grandfather, the only one who wasn't born in California, came to California in 1896, and he had two brothers and a sister who were already living in St. Helena, and he worked in vineyards on Spring Mountain for a few years before he decided to be a barber and went to San Francisco to be a barber. And
wow.
Ended up in Vallejo.
That's a transition.
Yeah, not a career trajectory you hear of a lot.
No.
From vineyards to hair.
Right. No. I know some people that were barbers that became vineyard.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Schramsberg was a barber.
Oh, really?
The original. Okay. Maybe.
Huh. Really? No. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Huh. And so the vineyard he worked in was probably a lot like our old vineyard, planted about the same time, because our oldest vines were planted in 1890.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we want to get to that, but first we sort of want to know after Vallejo, where did you go? Because you had another career pre-wine.
Right.
Not a barber career, something else.
Well, from Vallejo, I went to Berkeley, undergraduate in law school, and then to Washington, D.C., where I met Betsy. Mm-hmm. Then we got pretty into wine there, starting with things like half gallons of Almaden Chablis.
fantastic.
But then I remember we went to a French restaurant called Jean-Pierre and had a bottle of Chateau Carbonneau Grave, and I said, hey, this is way different. You know, this is. So then I got really interested in trying a lot of new things, and there was a store in Washington called Central Liquor that I went and did a lot of shopping there. I've always been interested in trying new things and different varieties, and so it started then. But that, you know, in our 20s.
Mm-hmm. And so, what were you both doing in D.C.? What sort of work?
Well, I went there first as a Vista volunteer. Vista's like AmeriCorps. Mm-hmm. So I was working with community organizations in D.C. It was a program that was tied to George Washington University. So I got an LLM out of at the same time. Then I went to the Federal Home Loan Bank Board that regulates the savings loan industry. Became head of the legislation division of the General Counsel's office. But the thing I was proudest of doing was non-discrimination regulations that apply to the savings and loan industry. Mm-hmm. So, like the Equal Housing Lender logo. That was mine.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. Yeah. That is very important. Yeah. That is really important. Yeah.
Then I went briefly to the House Banking Committee. Then I was legislative counsel for Bank of America. Came back to San Francisco with Bank of America, mm-hmm. then back to D.C. as Deputy General Counsel of Freddie Mac.
Okay.
And back to San Francisco to be General Counsel of a credit card company. And by then I was getting tired of the law. And
right. And of banks, maybe?
Yeah, and of banks. And so, you know, each job was less socially redeeming. I decided to start taking viticulture classes at Santa Rosa JC while I was looking for some property and wanted to get into, I don't know why, but I wanted to start growing grapes. I took a lot of classes from Rich Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Just going to ask.
So great.
Rich Thomas, yeah.
So he was basically the whole viticulture department or most of it. You know? So I took all his classes and one of his classes involved a field trip to go visit wineries. And as we were driving, he drove the bus. And as we were driving by the place we now own, he said he'd checked it out for someone. They had decided not to buy it for some reason, but I hopped off the bus and found the...
Stop it. You like pull over, Rich?
Yeah. Well, as soon as we got off the bus, I went back. So I found the real estate agent who was the sister of the owner of the property. And went out to look at the vines, and it was September of 89. It had rained before harvest. All the Petite Syrah vines in the old vineyard had botrytis, and they're all 2 feet off the ground. And everything was rotten, but I won't buy it anyway. So
something about it.
Something about it, and it seemed perfect because I could apply all the things I'd learned from Rich's classes. It was an existing vineyard and land next to it to plant. So so I was out pruning the grapevines before I actually owned them. We didn't close on the property till March, but I was out pruning the vines, and then I identified all the oddball varieties that were there. The main varieties in the old vineyard are Zinfandel, Alicante, Boucher, and Petite Syrah, but it's a total of about 18 varieties. Mm-hmm. The previous owners have been selling them to Gallo for Hardy Burgundy, I'm not sure. Huh. But it was sold as mixed blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to Ridge and Ravenswood and a few other people and ended up selling the grapes to Ridge for several years.
Yeah.
From 1996. And then to Rosenblum and then to Rockwall, and now we're back selling to Ridge because Shauna Rosenblum has moved to Ridge.
Yeah, great winemaker. So did you know that you... So, I mean, I imagine some of the times that you were living in San Francisco, were you coming up to wine country? Were you visiting Sonoma?
We did occasionally. Actually, when our son was born in 1980, we came wine tasting when he was in a snuggly. And so we have some wine that we bought trip. We went to Rodney Strong, which is very close to the vineyard. But that's...
So is Betsy all in on this? Like, or was this a like, what are we doing here, Bill? What's going on?
Yeah, sort of that. But she got more and more into it. I was also on the wine committee at the University Club in San Francisco. I was chairman of the committee, and that gave me an opportunity to taste a lot of things. And mm-hmm. we remember the committee made a couple of trips once to Ridge and to Jordan and things like that.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I was going to ask, like, you know, who were sort of the big players at that point? And you've kind of named most of them. I think in the early 80s, it mm-hmm. would have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were a lot fewer wineries. And actually, when I was in law school, I went wine tasting in Napa. And I think there were basically six wineries you could go to.
Amazing.
Things have changed a lot.
I want to know a little bit. So take us back. I mean, you're like, you kind of casually said, so I started selling my grapes to Ridge. But how, I mean, that's not a very casual, I mean, because right now people are, like, how do those relationships evolve? What, do you show up and find a 1-800 number? Like, how does that, like, how did that work?
I don't remember exactly.
I mean, I'm picturing you driving up there and going, well, they nice to meet you.
And... No, I think I called or wrote a letter or something.
Huh.
I remember Joel Peterson came to take a look, and Dave Raffinelli was actually born on the property. He lived there till he was 2 years old, and I remember walking around with him. He said, "Yeah, I remember running away from home and getting this far, you know." So there's a part of the old vineyard that was replanted by his dad in 1950, and that includes some Sangiovese. So we have some of the oldest Sangiovese in the county. I don't know, you know, where he got it or whether it was a mistake, but when we planted Sangiovese, we took some of those cuttings.
Wow. What were the wineries looking for at that point? It sounds like they were mostly Zin producers. So is that
we were already members of Ridge's ATP program. Maybe that was
part of the connection. There you go.
ATP is Advanced Tasting Program, and that was mostly Zinfandel. Mm-hmm. So we were already into field blends.
Okay.
I got more and more into it. So I mean, the combination of things in the old vineyard inspired me to you know, every wine should be a field blend. So everything that we planted is nothing's 100% one variety.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, it's
and
pretty
the wines
amazing.
We made were all field blends.
If you look at this map, which you provided, I mean, it is pretty amazing. You show these field blends that were planted, you know, 1890. And what they have in them, it's Petit Syrah, it could be Petit Boucher, Syrah, Carignan, Trousseau, Tannat, and Grenache. I mean, that's a lot happening in one part, you know, one or two parcels of the vineyard, and then kind of every single area that was planted in 1890. I mean, I think that reflects the times, obviously.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, that was the standard. Mm-hmm. People knew that it made sense, you know, and they didn't have a lot of separate little tanks to do individual wines to blend later.
Yeah.
I think after Prohibition, some people kind of lost track of it and thought that they should just specialize in one thing at a time, or a winemaker thought he had more control by making you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then blending them later.
Yeah.
We actually did an experiment with 5-gallon lots where we did separate Zin, Petit Ron Alicante, and then a field blend, and then we blended the separate ones later, and they weren't the same.
Mm-hmm.
And some part of it is that they're not all exactly at the same ripeness, so you get the Zin quite ripe, but the Alicante is less ripe, and so it retains the acid, and together they work better than they do by themselves.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
I know. That is true.
Yeah. It's really amazing. Yeah. So did you move up here at the same time? I mean,
No, I was commuting back and forth from San Francisco for quite a while. We didn't build a house till, there was no house on the property. We didn't build a house till 95.
Mm-hmm.
Then Betsy was working at Bank of America, and not sure when it was that Bank of America was acquired by another bank in North Carolina. Mm. And so she left the bank and started working from home. And then our younger son went off to boarding school. And at that point, we moved up here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, as you do.
So I heard Bank of America mention that you worked there and Betsy worked there. Is that mm-hmm. how you guys met? Hmm? Is that how you met each
other? No, we met when I first went to Washington as a Vista volunteer, and I was taking a class at GW, and she was standing in the hallway outside the class before we started, and she was uncharacteristically quiet because she noticed everyone else in the class had already graduated from law school, and she hadn't.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Bill on the good stuff. On the good stuff, and our guest is Bill Nakbor, owner of Alegria Vineyards. And okay, so you were telling us that how you and Betsy met, and then off air you sort of mentioned, and we got married. How soon?
Well, we decided to get married in 6 weeks, and we got married 6 months later.
Okay.
And we've been married 55 years.
Oh my gosh!
Wow. Okay. So
smart decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Smartest decision ever made.
So what was the first date? So you meet outside the classroom, and then what? I love all the meeting stories.
We had a date that we went to a place called the Hawk and the Dove on Capitol Hill. We went to a double feature movie, which is not a good idea for a date, but we saw Bob Dylan and Don't Look Back and Monterey Pop on a double bill.
Ooh. Oh my God. Okay.
Was there wine at that first dinner? Maybe?
I don't know. I just remember there was candlelight. But,
okay. I love it.
We'll have to ask her sometime. We'll have her on. Yeah. We'll ask her version of the date.
Right. Yes. Right. She's, yeah.
Yeah. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. So.
Okay. So you move up here. And then am I skipping too fast?
I know
fast?
You skipped a lot, but that's okay.
Okay,
there's going to be a lot to edit out of this.
we hope not. We definitely hope not. But I'm intrigued by the vineyard because I'm looking at this map still. Yeah. And so you get this vineyard that was originally planted in 1890, and then there were some additions made mm-hmm. by the Raffinellis in the 50s. What else did you know about it? I mean, were you able to find any
yes,
other
I,
kind
well,
of...
I actually went and searched the chain of title. Uh-huh. And it was planted by a family named Brumfield, who settled on the property in 1852. Hmm. And they were squatters on the Sotoyomi land grant, like a lot of other people. So the Sotoyomi land grant was a grant of 48,000 acres to Henry Delano Fitch, who hired Cyrus Alexander to come take care of it for him. Mm-hmm. But it included all of Healdsburg and Alexander Valley and where we are.
I would like that land grant.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so he was a Boston Sea captain who came to California, became a Mexican citizen, lived in San Diego. He married Josefa Carrillo, whose parents didn't want her to get married, so they hopped on a ship and went to Chile and got married there and stayed a couple of years, came back with a grandchild, and everything was okay. And she was the sister of General Vallejo's wife, Benicio Vallejo. So that made him General Vallejo's brother-in-law, probably. Had something to do with his getting this land grant.
Yes, probably helped.
Rich history there.
Yeah, very rich history.
So anyway, the Brumfields ended up with 650 acres that included our area down to Rodney Strong. And they when they were there was a lawyer named L.A. Norton who had to go around and settle the land claims. The only, Josefa Fitch couldn't get the people off the land, so they had to negotiate to sell them the land. And everybody was armed. There was basically a pretty tense situation. So the lawyer was armed. They were too. And one of the Brumfields, named Bird Brumfield, was the most colorful member of the family.
That's saying a lot.
He killed a man in a barroom fight in Santa Rosa, later died in a barroom fight in Healdsburg. In the meantime, went into this lawyer's office and took a shot at him.
Oh my God, it's dangerous.
And shot him through the hand.
is this why they called it the Wild West?
Was this at the wagon wheel?
Yeah,
was
that where? Yeah, seriously, downtown Santa Rosa wagon wheel. There you go.
Yeah, so... It was
it wasn't
like, you know, Healdsburg wasn't this yuppified town.
A little different.
Now.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Come a long way.
So no gunfire when you came along.
So his younger brother Summers Brumfield is the one that planted the vineyard. He was the farmer.
Okay.
Actually, in one of the census, Bird Brumfield listed his occupation as sporting man.
Love that.
And he was a gambler, and the
sporting.
The reason he got in this fight in the bar in Healdsburg is that he was barred from entering because he was such a troublemaker.
So
he came barging in with a gun, and the owner pulled the gun out and shot him. So
wow,
that's
okay.
That.
All right, I'll
show you.
But anyway, yeah.
So you've got you've got quite a history there, and but then at some point you in the early 90s, it looks like you started to add some vines. So tell us about that process. Like, what were you?
Well, actually, right away I started laying out the vineyard. I did a lot of the work myself digging trenches for irrigation and so on. I looked around to see what to plant, and I thought that, you know, wrongly, but I thought there was already too much Cabernet and Chardonnay, so I wanted to be different. So I planted Syrah and Sangiovese and Cab Franc. There was already Syrah and Sangiovese in the old vineyard, so I knew they would do well there. And then the Cab Franc, just because I thought Cab Franc had potential as a varietal.
Mm-hmm.
There were only a couple of varietal, maybe a dozen varietal bottlings of Cab Franc back then. But
And so was the goal to continue selling grapes, or did you already have...
Yeah, my original plan was just to sell grapes.
Okay.
But then when they were, you know, then there was a crop, and I said, well, maybe I should make some wine. So
the logical conclusion,
right.
Yes.
So, and that started a whole nother business. So we started Acorn Winery, and each year it seemed we were adding. We started with a Sangiovese in 1994, and then we had a Dolciato in 95 and Zinfandel in 97. At that, we switched most of our Zinfandel grapes that had all been going to Ridge. We switched to Rosenblum and made our Zinfandel at Rosenblum.
Okay. And were you making the wines? Had you sort of taught yourself winemaking by that point?
No, I was making the wine. We made wine at Wellington and at Delormier, and then at Rosenblum. And I learned a lot, you know, from the winemakers. And I learned a lot about barrels, especially from Jeff Cohn at Rosenblum. So then we moved around. We custom crushed various places, but we do have a bond at our place, so we've made some of the wine there.
Mm-hmm.
I've made the Dolcetto and a Rosato and a Medley.
Okay.
Medley is the whole vineyard blend.
Mm-hmm. And so that brand, you had that brand for 30 years.
Yeah.
And then you decided to sell it?
Yeah, we sold the brand name, but we still have the vineyard.
Right, okay.
So
started as a lawyer, went to a farmer, went to a winemaker, now back to farming.
Back to a farmer.
Yeah, back to farming.
Back to farming.
It's the best. It's the best choice.
It is the best choice.
Okay, well, I think we are due for another break, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit about some of the other wines that you've made over your time at Alegria, and we'll be back with Bill. Here with Bill Nachbar talking about Alegria Vineyards. And you mentioned Alegria in Spanish means what?
Means happiness and joy.
And then it also does in Portuguese.
Also in Portuguese.
Okay.
And you add an extra L also in Italian, but double L in Italian.
Oh. Well, how nice. And then the other thing that we were going to talk about was the fact that it took you forever to plant any whites.
Right.
So 2017 is when you added some whites.
Right.
And what was your thinking on what you wanted to have in the vineyard?
Well, I decided I would honor my grandparents and my father's parents. And my grandmother's family was Portuguese. She was born in Petaluma in 1879. And so we planted Alvarinho with other Portuguese grapes. So it's blended in with Arento, Lerero, Verdello, other things. It's 80% Alvarinho, which is also in Spain, it's Alvarinho.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of the block, we planted Grüner Veltliner with other Austrian grapes. So Grüner Veltliner is the leading white grape in Austria, and around Vienna they do a blend called Gemischter Sekt, pardon my German.
like, I can't remember.
Something
I can't
like
say that.
That.
Yeah, I was like, what he said.
Which
I
means
think
mixed set. And so they do a field blend white wine there.
And so were you using those white grapes in your wine, in the Acorn wines originally?
We did for 2 years before we sold the brand. And
okay.
So now Melissa at Ancient Oak is doing the Grüner, and Tom Parmesan is doing the Alvarinho.
Okay.
Nice.
Interesting.
Well, and I don't know if you know this, Bill, but I think one of the very first times, because we've had you on a show or a version of the radio show for over the last 13 years that I've been doing this, and you came in with your list, so you have the map of the vineyard. On the other side is a list of 111 grape varieties grown on your vineyard.
Right.
And we used to have, I inherited this little factoid that we grew over 60 grape varieties in Sonoma County, and then you showed up with 111 in one vineyard, and I was like, I need to do some fact checking.
Oops.
Right.
Oops. And so you inspired us to go back, and now we pull the crush report on an annual basis, and we actually count. And I think
A lot of these are too obscure to even be in the crush report.
Yes, I think we're at 106 in the crush report. So you have more grape varieties on your vineyard than in the USDA crush report for this district.
Remarkable.
Yeah, I know. So I just wanted to shout out. That's amazing.
There's a book you've probably seen called Godforsaken Grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's about Jason undiscovered, Wilson. Underutilized grapes. And it's a quote. The name comes from something Robert Parker said, which was, who cares about all those godforsaken grapes?
But
there's just a lot of potential there.
I mean, that's quite something. So are you part of the Historic Vineyard Society?
Yes.
So the vineyard is sort of recognized for this, all this diversity?
Yeah, the old part is is a historic vineyard, registered historic vineyard.
Yeah, rightly so. I mean, it is. I can't get over this list.
I know, right? It's yeah. super impressive.
It makes me kind of want to like do some research on these.
Do you have a favorite grape variety?
Actually, my favorite variety is probably Syrah.
Love Syrah.
From a grower's point of view and a wine drinker's point of view. And our Syrah was 3% Viognier. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way it should be. But from a grower's point of view, it's a long, loose cluster with a long stem, you know, not very mildew prone. So it's an easy grape to grow. But I like, there are lots of grapes I like. Sanso is really wonderful, yeah. the aroma from Sanso, especially when you're punching down the grapes.
So can people come visit the vineyard? Is that a possibility?
Sure, absolutely.
And how do they get in touch? AlegriaVineyards.com?
Yes, we actually have a website and emails, AlegriaVineyards.com.
Okay, well, I would suggest that people do that.
I know.
What a treasure.
Well, and I want to bring out the whole team at the wine growers during harvest because we want to see, because I know you have all these labeled, so we want to see all the different grape varieties in their glory
as
you're about to harvest them.
Well, I think you need to do that. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bill. It was a real pleasure to learn about your vineyard and your story. And
okay. Yeah.
Thanks for being on the Good Stuff.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
So, Carissa, my favorite part of the story was the gunfights. I mean, and I think producer Jeff agrees. There was a lot of violence for, and he told the story so calmly.
Totally.
So it was just like a disconnect a little bit. Like, what? Yeah. What happened?
Well, it was, I mean, he is a lawyer by education, yeah, so true. Kind of a methodical presentation of this story, which was, I mean, and just all of those details.
The sporting man, like, was not wanted at a bar. What do you know?
And, like, I'm going to barge in anyway and... I guess karma, because he killed someone in the Santa Rosa bar fight. So I guess that just...
Do you think it was John and Zeke's?
Maybe it was. So with the wagon wheel in Santa Rosa and the early John and Zeke's.
Healdsburg really changed.
It has.
Or maybe it hasn't. It's just...
Less... Yeah.
No, no.
Less violent, maybe.
If you go out to the Dry Creek General Store sometimes, that bar...
is happening.
It could... Yeah. Anything could happen there.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
But like I said, I've always loved... Bill and Betsy's story and love that he, I mean, I feel like he's just, I mean, what an incredible farmer, and to think about all these different grape varieties and to manage all of those. I mean, and when they ripen, and I like this idea of the field blends, and because you don't hear everyone talk about that.
Well, and to stumble onto this site, and it's for sale.
While riding around in a van with Rich Thomas from the Santa Rosa Junior College.
And to recognize, because it's in, I mean, it's along kind of that stretch of road, sort of Windsor on the way to Healdsburg. Like, you wouldn't, and right between the freeway and, you wouldn't
close
necessarily be like,
vineyard.
That's going to be incredible. It's like, you have to have the vision, I guess. And I don't know, a little bit of luck and timing. But,
and it's also great just to have it all mapped out, too. Yeah. I mean, and to have the original dates of all the plantings. I mean, very, very cool. And part of the, old vineyard, the Historic Vineyard Society. So,
well, people should definitely go and visit AlegriaVineyards.com, A-L-E-G-R-I-A Vineyards.com. Go check it out. And in the meantime, what are you drinking?
Yeah, Tuesday night wine. Well, for an early nod, I know it's not from... that vineyard from the Allegria Vineyards, but I'm going to have a Ridge Vineyards, their 2023 Lytton Springs, which is primarily Zin, but has a little Petite Syrah and Alicante in there.
Also a very historic site.
Yes.
I'm going to just quickly say Ancient Oaks Cellars, because that's the owner now of the Acorn brand. They're Sappho. It's a Bordeaux blend.
Oh, there you go.
And that's about
good.
It.
So we're doing reds on this Tuesday.
All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.